Dr. Jesus, Lord, search my heart by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, as your word come for tonight, as your word come for tonight. Oh, shalom. Lord, I'm here tonight. I'm here tonight. Give me understanding. Give me understanding, depth of understanding in your word. Help me tonight to find my calling. Help me tonight to understand what you have called me on earth to do. Pray. Don't think now. Don't think now. Just pray. Lord, I want to know my calling. I want to understand the nature of my calling. Pray. I'm seeing you looking instead of you to pray. Lord, I really am interested about what you want to do in my life. I'm interested. Even as you are interested, Lord, I'm also interested. Shalabakata bakatos kebelata. Shatabakatos kebelata. Zadadadadadabalata. Shabalakabaratabakatos. Rekos kobaloto broketenemena. Lebros kotobrokoto balodobakotos kata. Ratadadadadadadabalata. Shabalatabakatos kebelada. Ratatatalabakatos kabarata. Shadabalata bakata brakata brakata. Ishabada bakata brakata le brakata. Rasas kabalata mana. Rasa tatata balatos kate. Rokote brakata le brakata brakata. Esubalata barata mana malata sibeleta. Rondo brokos kabarata brakata. Rasa tabakata brakata le brakata. Ishobalokoto brakata 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 leketa. Rata bakata brakata balata brakata brakata balata. Mambras kata balata brakata le brakata. Open up the word to me, Lord. Shada da 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 lata. Shaba ba ba da bakata. Shada bakata bakata le brakata. I cannot continue to be ignorant. I cannot continue in ignorance. Ratos kebela kebela. Randa bakas kobara kebela ta. Take away ignorance tonight. As I hear your word, take away ignorance. Shada bakata bena. Balada bakata brakata balata sata kapakato leke perata la praskata Jesus. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 1.
Father,
cry up, Father,
hallowed hallow your name. We give you praise tonight. Let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Let your word come to us expressly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. Hallelujah. Has God been faithful to you? Has God been faithful to you? Praise God. Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying. Now who was speaking there? Now he was speaking, and this is what he said, that the word of the Lord came to him. Remember last week we talked about what? The word of God, right? How that the word of God comes to men. So here the prophet is saying, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Say, God knows me. Say, God knows me. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Let me have King James Version on that. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto what? The nations. When did God call this man? When was the day of his ordination? Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. Then I ordained you as a prophet unto the nations. Now think about that. That a man can be ordained. Right? A man can be ordained from his mother's womb. Even before seeing the light of the day, that he was ordained to be a prophet. You know, Prophet T.B. Joshua made a statement one time, and that's why they have a lot of controversies with him, and somehow they may be right. He was asked, when were you born again? He said, from his mother's womb. From his mother's womb he got born again. And that was why they had a problem with him, because it is impossible. Right? It's not scriptural that you were born again from your mother's womb. But we can see that there was an ordination. From his mother's womb he was ordained to be a prophet. I want to let you know that there is a calling of God upon your life. Right now, as we are sitting down here, the call of God is hanging over you. Now, this guy was not born again yet. He was not born, not talk of being born again yet. Right? But yet, he was already ordained to be a prophet. And the prophetic, his prophetic grace was to be to the nations. But yet, that was from his mother's womb. There was an ordination. So I'll talk about callings and giftings and ordinations. So I'm going to start with callings. Then probably next week talk about gifts and all of that. You need to understand that there's a calling of God upon your life. Romans chapter 11.
In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the reach. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the reach.
29. Who is there? For the gifts and the callings of God are what? They are without repentance. This version says the gifts, God's gift and his call, they are irrevocable. Alright, let me. He said, just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience. Alright, so let me leave that. So this place showing us about what? The gifts and the callings of God. And he said that there is a nature with these gifts. That's the way it is. And he said that these gifts and his nature, they are without repentance. They are irrevocable. And what does that mean? That when God calls a man, when God gives you a gift, God doesn't come back and say, give me my gifts. I'm not calling you again. No. The moment you are called, you are called. What you need to understand is that when this prophet was in his mother's womb, he had been ordained already. And this was the time that God came to him. And at this time, he was already a young man. Do you understand? He was already a young man at this time. And yet, he was not walking in the prophetic yet. This was the time that God met him. And he was telling him that from your mother's womb I ordained you. The only thing is that you didn't know that you had this ordination. And you have not had this encounter that will help you to know that you have a calling upon your life. So the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So that if somebody is born and he grows up, started smoking, drinking, doing whatever he's doing, womanizing, into all kinds of atrocities, the calling is still there. Nothing stops the calling. The calling is still there. And nothing can take it away. No matter the terrible thing. Even if he's a thief today, he's still called. Say amen. Is that not what the place is saying? Even if the person is a thief today, the calling is still hanging on him. You remember Paul telling Timothy, he says, stir up the gifts of God that is in you, which you receive by what? Through the laying on of my hands. So that means the gift is upon you, but all you need to do is to do what? To stir it up so it can be there, but lying dormant. The gift of God can be upon your life, but they are in your life doing nothing. God may have called you for an assignment, but because you did not understand it, and because you have not entered into it, you don't even know. But the gift is there. God can never collect it. Okay, not cannot. God will never collect it. How many of you know that up till now, Lucifer, Satan, He's still an angel. Are you aware? Just that he's the negative angel now. But the powers that was given to Lucifer when he was ordained the anointed cherub is still with him. Is that correct? Lucifer still has power. Lucifer can do anything, not everything. But within the scope of his power that was given to him before the foundations of the world, when he was created, what he was appointed to do, God will not collect the gifts. So it is the reason why you can see somebody is a drunkard, somebody is a thief, but he's still preaching. Do you understand? Because sometimes you are confused. But if this guy is called, will he still be smoking? God does not collect the gifts. Your walk with God may be tampered with, but the giftings of God upon your life will still be intact, waiting for you to realize it, then begin to walk in it. It will always be there waiting for the day you will realize. Waiting for the day you will correct yourself. Waiting for the day you will come back to your senses, the Bible says. Hallelujah. So you need to understand the nature of this gift that you have received. Hallelujah. Can we celebrate Pastor Estefanus and his beautiful wife? Please, can you bring them here? You are welcome, sir. There are seats for you, sir. But you know you cannot sit at the back, but Pastor Sam. Pastor Sam, come and sit here. Come back to your place. No, thank you. Come and sit here. Hallelujah. Are we continuing? Are you getting what I'm saying? Man of God, I'm not comfortable with you there. I will allow mommy there because she has a child. But you now. Amen. Oh yeah, some of you need to hurry up and get married. They are not intimidating us. You have to start by one. Amen. So, when God calls a man, I said, God does not remove the calling from you. No matter how much you have erred, no matter the wrong you have done, the calling will still be hanging. Not that your walk with God is correct, though. Do you understand? But the calling is there. Any moment you come back to your senses, like the prodigal son, like the prodigal son, the Bible says, and when he came back to his senses, he said, I will return to my father. I will return. The call is there. He only left. He only derailed. Like I met somebody today who is a reverend. And someone saw me talking with him. And then he was trying to rebuke me. He said, what are you doing with this man? I said, I don't know him. He only asked me to calculate something for him. He now told me about him. There is a person that is corrupting this other, our friend that you are seeing, and I don't want to hear him. What was he talking about? That the man is a drunkard and is luring this other pastor to begin to drink. And I said, is he still a reverend? Is he still pastor in the church? He said, yes. Now you will ask, okay, why didn't God remove the anointing? Why didn't God remove the calling? God doesn't do that. He said the gifts and the callings of God are what? Without defense. So don't be surprised that somebody is into error and is still manifesting the anointing. Don't be surprised.
Don't be surprised that somebody is into a sinful life and is still demonstrating power.
Don't be shocked.
This is the scripture. This is the reason why. And do you know why it is? It's because God is too rich. God has everything in abundance. For him to say he gives you something, they say, oh, you say you not. God is not a child. If a child gives you something, and then some between you and him, something happened, what will he say? Give my thing, give my thing, give my. God is not a baby. God is not like that. God does it because of you, because you offended him. He doesn't just, oh yeah, give me back my thing. No. In fact, the one he has, the one he gave you, did not even touch the one he has. The Bible said, for my God is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think or imagine. To even give you the scope, he went further to say, for my God is able to supply your needs according to what? His riches. So his riches in the anointing, his riches in giftings, in callings. There are, so if you decide to derail, go with the gift. What will you do with it? He has given you. That's why the power with Lucifer is still with him. The power with the angels is still with them. They can manipulate, they can transform themselves. They can do whatever they want to do within the scope, the limits of their power that was given to them when they were appointed angels. There. So the giftings and callings of God, whether to men or angels, is without repentance, except in the matter of the throne. Like when Lucifer was trying to ascend to the throne, right? To rise his throne above the throne of God. And God said, not here. Go and do it somewhere. But not here. But he didn't collect the gifts. He didn't collect the powers. He didn't even collect the influence. Only what he did was he displaced him. Not here. Go and do it somewhere. And is he still doing it? So, the demonstration of giftings in your life is not an approval that God is still with you. That you can still sing and jump is not an approval. It is not a sign of God's approval. That you can even still preach is not a sign that God is still with you. The gift of God may still be with you, but the God of the gifts may have left you since. Are we together? So understand the nature of these giftings we are talking about and the callings of God. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. We're also going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 1. And we're going to read Romans chapter 12 from verse 8. Now, these are diversities that we're going to be exploring in these coming weeks. This week, next week, and probably, I want you to follow this. Because this gift and calling, if you don't understand it, that is what brings about competition. That is what brings about rancor, division, factions in the church. Unnecessary, you know, jealousy. But a man that understands his callings, a man that understands the giftings, will not be found in that. So write this down. When a man is called, he is given an assignment. God doesn't just call you without him having something he has in mind for you to do for him. So if God calls a man, it means there's a vacuum that he wants that man to fill. There's a space that is empty that only that man can fill. So God calls him and say, come, do this for me. When a man
he's giving gifts, he is giving the tool that he will use to carry out his assignment. So the gifts that God gives you is to help you to carry out your assignment that you were called for. Understand callings and giftings. So gifts and callings are not the same thing. A man is called for an assignment, then he's given gifts to carry out the assignment. Just like you are called to be a mechanic, then you will be given spanners, tools that you can use to carry out your operations. Now, don't forget that the man that gives, the person that gives these gifts is a king. Now, every king has every person in his kingdom that he appoints to carry out one or two functions that is different from another. Even in democracy, we can see that a president is elected. When the president is elected, something happens. He now begins to appoint ministers. Minister of education, minister of finance, right? Minister of housing, minister of transport, minister of this and that. That is what? Callings. So God, knowing that if a kingdom must be complete, there are people that must carry out certain assignments. But all of those ministers are doing that for one purpose: the advancement of the country, of the nation, right? And the welfare of their people. Is that correct? So all of them are ministers, but they are driving at one goal, but they have a different assignment, but they were called to be ministers. But he's a minister of finance. But she's a minister of this. She's a minister of that. All of them are ministers, but they have specifics. Are you getting this? So all of us in church, God, Jesus, knowing that a kingdom has to be established, so he begins to issue calls. Right from Genesis to Revelation, we saw how God goes out to look for people to call them. We saw how he called Isaiah. We saw how he called Jeremiah. He told him, I have ordained you a prophet to the nations, right from your mother's womb. Before you were even conceived, I ordained you. I called you. He told Jeremiah, Isaiah, it was a call. Who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, what? Here I am. And then he was given a message. Ezekiel was also called. Daniel was called. All of them understood their call. In the case of Daniel, we will now see that God did not come out to Daniel expressly and say, come, I'm calling you. He entered the call. He entered into his ordination by aligning to the word of God, by aligning to the principles of God. So there are times that you may not hear a voice calling you directly, but by virtue of your alignment to the kingdom and the king himself, begin to walk into your callings, into your ordination. So he called men, appointed them for one duty or the other. We saw that Isaiah was a prophet, but his message was different. Jeremiah was a prophet, but his message was different. But all of them, the word of the Lord came to me. But it wasn't the same word. Daniel also was a prophet, but his own word was different. Hosea was a prophet, his own was different. All of them were prophets, but they had a different message. So they were called and they were given a message, an assignment to go and deliver. So that you have a calling, are you aware? Do you know really what your message is? That means if God calls you, I can, if I say Ezekiel, come, just stand up and come. Now, the next thing is going to ask me, here I am, right? Here am I. What do you want me? So God does not call a man to just keep him there. Then if God calls you, there is a reason. And it is your duty to find out. It's your duty to ask it. It's your duty to discover it. What is it that God is calling you for? So when you come to him, you now become aware of the reason he's calling you, of where he is sending you to. What is the errand you have called me to run? Just take this. What is the message? Now, so many of us, we are running, but without a message. There was a story of a man in the days of Absalom called Ahimaaz. After Absalom died, Joab wanted to send somebody. So he called somebody's name. And then Ahimaaz just came like that. And then he said, Master, I will go. He was not called though. He was not called. He said, I will go. Please send me. I will go. After that, other person has been sent. What will you say? Before they could even tell him the message, he has gone to the king. When he got to the presence of the king, and they asked him, okay, you are here with a message. What do you have to say? He didn't know what to say. He was just saying rubbish. And the king says, stand here. Stand aside. Stand aside. You have no message. You have no right to come here. And that's exactly what most of us are doing. We run without being sent. Or even when we are sent, we do not even know what we are sent to do. So what they sent the other guy to go and do is what he wants to do. And they didn't send him. The same thing with somebody sitting there in church today. What I am called for is what you want to do. Forgetting or not knowing your own assignment. You are distracted because your own friend is doing this and that. Then you forget your own calling. You carry yourself and you are comparing with that your friend. With that your brother. With that your sister. All of you may be in the worship team. But still you need to understand your uniqueness. You need to understand your uniqueness. 1 Corinthians, Ephesians 4 verse 11. Let's start from there. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4 verse 11. Amen. All right. What does it say? Start from verse 10. No. Read verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity what? Captive. And gave gifts to men. What did he give to men? What did he give to men? He gave them gifts. Now, I want you to see the categories of giftings. Because it's not only here. Now, this part of it is also talking about gifts. But what kind of gift is that? Continue reading. Now that he ascended. Yes. Yes. That he may fill all things. And he gave some what? Apostles. And some what? Prophets. And some evangelists. And some pastors. And teachers. Now look at this. What is the job of these gifts? Now follow this. They have one purpose. So all of these people that were mentioned. Because he said, now God
gave gifts to men. And the gift he gave is that to men, he gave them apostles. They are the gifts. Pastors. A pastor is a gift. Hello? A pastor is a what? An evangelist is a what? So if you have somebody that's an evangelist in your life, a pastor in your life, a prophet is a gift to you. God saw that you need a gift. You need, then he carries a prophet and gives to you. He carries an apostle and gives to you as a gift to you. Every gift is given to you to accomplish a particular purpose. Is that correct? Nobody gives you anything just like that. There's a reason they give you that thing. So if I give you money as a gift, I want you to use it to buy something. If I give you clothes, I want you to use it and clothe yourself. So he gave gifts unto men. And those gifts are pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. And he said they have one role. All of them as gifts now. They have one purpose. And this is to do what? To perfect the saints. Now look at it. These gifts now, their job is not to outsiders. Hello? Are you following it? They are not a gift to the outside world. He said they are given so that they can perfect the saints. That means the saints are not perfected. They are not perfect. But it's the job of the pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers to perfect them, the saints. That means the believers. So as we are like this, our job is to make sure you become perfect. And then, what will happen now? Now, we should perfect the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. Are you getting the concept? Who is going to do the work of the ministry? Is it the apostles? Is it the prophets? That you are not answering. The prophet, the pastors, their job is to the saints. They are sent to the believers to perfect them so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. So our contact as apostles, pastors, preachers, whatever we are in these gifts, because this very gift now is the fivefold ministry gifts. There's a difference. We are going to other ones. It's a fivefold ministry gift, which I'm going to explain some other time. But these people are given to the church, to the saints, so that they can prepare the saints, so that they can perfect them for the saints to do the work of the ministry. So the real work of the ministry is not even for the apostles. It's not even for the prophets. It's not even for the evangelists. No. It is for them to perfect the saints, for the saints to do the work. So you see, the work of reaching to unbelievers belongs to who? The work of reaching to outsiders belongs to who? You. You sitting down here, it is your job to go out. It is your job to make contact with the outside world and talk to them and preach to them. But see us here. Members of the church are suffering pastors and the gifts that God has given to them by making them to feel that they are the ones that have to go outside to look for members to come. To go and look for newcomers. To go and look for visitors. To go and invite men to come. It's not our job here. Our job is to you. Then you are to the world. Say I hear. Say I hear. Don't like this one. Is it me that is saying it? He said for them to do the work of the ministry. So you should know it. Church is growing. It's supposed to be the work of the saints. As long as we are doing our job to you, you should be doing your own job. Reach out to outsiders. It is your duty to do that.
Okay, continue.
For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, so that the body of Christ can be built up. Edify means to build. So that the saints are giving, and the five ministry gifts, they are giving so that the saints can be built to edify the body of Christ. Okay? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, this is our goal, all of us. All the gifts that God gives, all the callings that God calls, this is the goal. That we all will come in the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. Goes to and fro. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can see that this is the job of the people that were called here. They were called as apostles. They were called as prophets. They were called as teachers. And their job is to the saints. So my job is to you, and your own job is to the outside world. Are you confused? Are you confused? Yes, you need to understand. Now, but I want you to understand that as believers, all of us are called to do one thing. Amen. We are called to do what? It's the same thing we are called to do. All of us, as believers, you have a role to play. Somebody may be called to... Alright. I think I should talk about this. So these ministry offices that are given, now it's just like somebody is called to be a secretary. He's called now in an organization now, employed to be a secretary, right? She will be given her office. So an apostle that he is will be given his office. It's an office where he can use to fulfill his calling. That's why they are called offices. Not everybody occupies them. And not every believer is called to be a pastor. Not every believer is called to be a prophet or an evangelist. But all of us are called to be preachers. Amen. All of us are called to do what? How did I know? First Corinthians 12, verse 1. Today I'm just giving background of what we'll be doing. Are we there? 12, verse 1. Read. Concerning spiritual gifts. Yes. I don't want you to be ignorant about what? So it is a crime to be ignorant. It is deadly to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. So Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. If you are going to be ignorant about anything, it should not be spiritual gifts. Because if you don't, when purpose is not understood, abuse is inevitable. If you don't understand the purpose of a thing, you will abuse it. If you don't understand the purpose of the gifts that you have, you are going to use your gift to do nonsense. Some prophets use their gifts to extort money from people. Some pastors use their offices to abuse people. Some evangelists use their office to abuse and to extort money. So we need to understand it. And everything, we need to understand how it works. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Continue. He said, you were Gentiles. Go ahead. Yes. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, the same God that worketh all in all. Now, are you not confused already? Now, the other time he spoke about gifts to men that God gave. This time around, he's still talking about gifts. And he said there are diversities. Continue. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with that. One is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, how many now? Continue. The working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And discerning of spirits. Diverse kinds of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. How many now? No, it's not 10. 9. Now we can now see the first one is 5, right? In Ephesians, we have 5 there. Here is how many? 9. Now let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Now, these are gifts he's now mentioning again. He that exhorted, encouragement. He says some people have the gift of what? Encouragement. Go ahead. He that exhorts somebody, let him do it. He that giveth. Now, he's saying some people have the gift of giving. Giving is also a gift here. Go ahead. He that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. He that showeth mercy, issue. Now, showing of mercy is also a gift. Can you see? Hello? Now, these ones, they look so natural. Like, these are the personalities. It's just like personality of somebody. But God is showing us that it is also a gift. Continue. Now, how many did he mention now? 6. How many gifts is mentioned in this one that we read? We have about 6 there, right? So we have 6. So we have 5, 9, 6. Now, all these are categories which I'm going to explain, not today. But I'm going to show us the basic call of a believer in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 18. This is where we are going to pray tonight, so that next week, I'm going to explain all these ones in details. And all these things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And then he gave to us the ministry of what? Now to us who? All of us have been given the ministry. Say, I have a ministry. Everybody say, I have a ministry. Say, I have a ministry. What is your ministry? You don't know. See, it's there now. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That means our job is to reconcile men. Having him reconciling us back to himself through Jesus Christ. That means we were not at peace with God. But when God reconciled us to himself using Jesus, what now happened? He said he now gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He now said that having him reconcile us, it is our job to now begin to reconcile other people to him. So, as a member of the church, of the body of Christ, it is your job. All of us have been called. They have been called. Now, this is your calling. Your calling is to reconcile men back to God. Anybody that you see, his life is not at peace with God. It is your job to make sure that that person is aligned back to God. It's your responsibility to see that that person's life gets back to shape with God. So you are looking at somebody, that person, you know that person is not born again. You know that even if that person is born again, but something is wrong somewhere, it is your job to reconcile him back to God. Don't say you need to call a pastor, you need to wait for an evangelist. No, that's your neighbor. It is your job to reconcile the person back to God. It's your job to preach. So all of us are preachers by nature of our calling. If you are going to reconcile men back to God, you need to be able to preach to them. You need to be able to talk to them. And that is preaching. To preach means to declare. To tell. So your job is to tell men about Jesus and his kingdom and how he will be reconciled back to them. It is your job to understand that. It is your job to do that. We have been given a ministry of reconciliation. So you are seeing a drunkard. You are seeing a womanizer. You are seeing a cheat. You are seeing a liar. Somebody lies to you consistently. You have not taken the time to preach to him. Not knowing that this person is going to hell. Abi? The person keeps lying all the time. You have never taken your time to truly preach Christ to him. I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm not talking about, no, I'm talking about preaching Christ to the person. You know that this person's ways are not aligned with God. According to what you are seeing, that you are sure that these are not scriptural. You are waiting, you say you are not a pastor, you are not a prophet, but you have been given a call. He said he has made us. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our call. Our call as saints, our call as believers is to ensure that other people too are believers like us. Are you confused? What is your job? To make sure that other people too become believers like you. To make sure that other people are working with God like you. That's your call. You don't need to be a pastor for that. Now you have been given that call. Then you are given a gift. There are gifts that you can use to carry out those functions. Now he began to call word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of prophecies, interpretation of tongues, tongues, speaking with diverse tongues. All these are gifts that you can use to bring men to be reconciled back to God. So someone with the word of knowledge, as you have that gift, I'm going to explain just briefly here. Imagine that you as a believer, you go to preach to somebody and then you are talking with the person and the person doesn't want to give you attention. Then word of knowledge comes. I remember one time I went to preach in Gamji Gates. We used to go every New Year. As I saw the girl, I started talking with her and then she was not giving me face. I'm busy. Immediately word of knowledge came. I said, your name is this. You want to study medicine. Your mother, she looked at me. Do you understand the gifts now? These are the role of the gifts. Somebody will not give you attention ordinarily, But the moment you begin to tell him, I did the same thing in that same Gamji. At that one, it was another time. She was sitting down with her friends. And then when we came with the person that were together, and then I looked at her, I was asking her, what's her name? Please, can I talk to you? She said, please, as you can see, I'm with my friends. I said, okay. I said, what happened between you and your mother before you came here? She was looking at me. She said, nothing. I started saying something. I myself, now this is word of knowledge. It's coming to you. Telling you. So when you begin to tell her, even that she knows that it's only between her and her God, she's going to listen to you. Do you understand? Now after she's, if she hears things that ordinarily nobody knows from you, she's going to ask you, who are you? How did you know? Who gave you the audacity? The gift is given to every man to profit him. Those that have the gift of working of miracles, they enter into a city and they are trying to call the attention of people. Not as a believer or not as a pastor. Just a believer that you are. You enter into a city and somebody is trying, you are trying to preach, but nobody wants to hear. You go and find a crippled person. Using the tool now. See, I told you the gifts are the tools to carry out your assignment. Using your tool now, which is working of miracles, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they see the person, rise up and walk. And they know that this guy has been here. Since they gave birth to him, he has been crippled. All of a sudden, he's standing up. If you are in that city, won't you listen to me? This was what Peter and John did when they entered the temple. What I have, I give unto thee. And the Bible said that day, many also came to Christ. That day, because of that miracle that was done. They paid attention. There was this apostle, Matthew. Thomas was the apostle to India. When he entered India, these people were ritualists. They were making sacrifices to their God. According to the story, when he went there, he saw that they were pouring water. They said to their gods. But the water was falling down. If they were to still come back. And then he was like, all this thing you are doing, you are wasting your time. Why is your God not accepting your sacrifice? And they said, what are you here to do? He said, come, I want to tell you something. But let me show you something first. And he said, give me a bowl of water. This is called working of miracles. He took the water in a bowl and he poured it up. And the water hung. If you are there, will you listen or not? These are tools for carrying out your call. For carrying out the assignments which you were called for. So you don't go empty-handed without the gifts. So when you are called, you need to ask God, where are my tools? Where are my tools? I can't go like that. Where are my tools? Healing. He said, interpretation of tongues. Prophecy comes through tongues. The person is speaking. He's speaking and you are there to interpret. People will be there and they will be like, what? That was what caught their attention on the day of Pentecost. You remember that day? The Bible says, when after the Holy Ghost came, they began to speak with diverse tongues. And it attracted the attention of people that were around. They heard, because they heard the apostles speaking their language. And they came around. And then others were interpreting. They said, who are these? And on that day, when they got their attention, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They enter into places. And raise dead men. To a point that they began to call Paul and Barnabas, Zeus and Hermes. He said, the gods have come down to us. They even went and started offering sacrifices unto these men. He said, these men are not ordinary. And the Bible said, the entire city came down to listen to Paul and Barnabas.
wonders they performed. They used their tools to carry out the assignment. An ordinary deacon. He was called to be a deacon. He was appointed to be a deacon in the church. But as he was doing the service, he progressed into the office of an evangelist. And the Bible said, and Philip went down to Samaria. As he entered, and the Bible said, Philip wrought signs and wonders. He said, and demons were leaving people with loud shouts. He said, and the entire city came down. And even Simon, the sorcerer, that bewitched the entire city. The Bible said that man, as a sorcerer, he held the city ransom. Everybody in the city was paying homage to Simon the sorcerer. But when Philip entered and displayed his power, casted out devils, he said, who is this? He said, such that even Simon. This man was displaying power. But when he saw a higher power, he had no choice. In fact, when Peter and John came down to baptize those men, what did he do? He said, please, even if it's money you need, give me this power. Give me this power. There's something you have, I don't have it. I recognize that you have it. Hey, so as a singer, you enter into a place, they don't want to give you attention. You activate it. Signs and wonders. People begin to fall here and there. That's when they say, who is this? People will not ask, who is this, though, until they see something spectacular. It was when Saul saw David, King Goliath. He was going, moving. Goliath was coming, he too was going. Saul said, whose son is this? Tell me, who is this person? This boy. I am the tallest man in Israel. I ran away from this man. But this boy is going to face the giant. Who is he? Who is this? So when God gives you a gift, don't say, it's not about the gift. It's not about the gift. Brother, it's about the gift too. Without the gift, your calling is nothing. Your calling will not be effective. It's about the gifts too. It's just, you may say it's not only about the gifts, but it's about the gifts too. It is your gifts that enables you. When everybody is confused, the word of knowledge helps you to understand and provide solutions that are beyond human comprehension. The word of wisdom. It is the word of wisdom that enables you to tell people things that they need to do concerning a particular problem. Supernaturally, oh, nobody knows the way out. But by word of wisdom, you know that this and this is what is to be done concerning this situation. And then you give that suggestion, it worked. They will look for you. That was what Joseph did in Egypt. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. The Bible didn't tell us that God told him what is to be done. After he told him the interpretation of the dream, he now said, oh king, this is what is to be done. He knew what to be done. What is to be done? Solomon, it was by the word of wisdom that he was able to provide solutions to those two prostitutes that came. He said, oh, two of you is your child? Is your child two of you? Bring the sword. Cut it into two. Sometimes when you are in a tight corner, what can bail you out is the word of wisdom. It's a gift that is to be used to carry out your assignment. He mentioned prophecies, which we are also going to talk about in detail. You enter into a place, and then you said, by so and so time, tomorrow, rain is going to fall. And rain is dry season. You prophesy. See, men did crazy things using their tools in those days. They enter into a city that refused to open for them. And they said, by this time tomorrow, or by this time, by 2 o'clock today,
there's going to be rain, heavy rain, and there's not going to be cloud. If rain fall like that, won't you listen to me? Who are you? The ability to prophesy, to see into the future, to reveal it. Under prophecy, there are dimensions of prophecies. There's the revelatory dimension of prophecy, and there's the creative dimension of prophecy. The revelatory dimension of prophecy is the one that reveals. It reveals what is already there. For example, I can see that you have a wife already. Now that's word from knowledge. Do you understand? Now I can see that you don't have a child yet. Now imagine this word of knowledge. Now this is what is already happening, what has happened in his life. It's a revelation. I'm telling him this is what it is. But in the creative dimension of prophecy, something is not there. You speak it to pass. You speak it into existence. Let's say you don't have money in your pocket. Now prophecy is what will carry money and put in your pocket. So when I say take your pocket, there's going to be money. Prophecy takes money into your pocket. That's the creative dimension. It wasn't there. Don't check, Oga. I didn't say check. Do you understand? You want to disgrace my anointing? So, assuming. So, when you hear miracle money, when Prophet Hubert Angel enter Zimbabwe, and they were like, Who is this person? These are the prophets that are coming to collect people's money. They now change the narrative. Say, we came to collect money. Everybody, check your account number. Money is going to start entering. Check your pocket. Check your purse. People were opening their purses and seeing money. Some were receiving alerts immediately. Some were checking their pocket, their purses. Money that was not there started coming in. That was why Prophet Hubert Angel held Zimbabwe to ransom, to the point that the government of Zimbabwe had to chase him out. How can you be creating money like that? How can you be creating money? Money? So when you see Zimbabweans trooping to go and listen to him, he did something. What announced prophets? What announced Archbishop Bessie Dausa? He raised the dead. The story, he said that he went around looking for a dead person. Do you have a dead person here? Say, we did not even look around. We went. They came and called us. He went around looking for a dead person. Is there anybody that died here? Is there anybody? Say he found, I think it's around 3 o'clock. He said he found somewhere. It was after he prayed. When the girl woke up, that was all. Your equipment, you must receive them tonight. In this week, all of us must receive our tools, our equipment to carry out our assignments. If not, the job will be frustrating for us. Your evangelism, you can do it by prophecy. Enter the prophetic. You go to invite somebody to come for meeting. See somebody struggling with his hand, they stretch it, and the hand stretch out. And people were there. I gave you a story one time when I finished praying in the night, and then when I slept in the morning, I woke up to go and see my mother in her house there. When I was coming back, I met this woman, this mad woman. I was walking, and they started chasing me.
Hey, stop there. You. Surrender. Bow down.
People were looking at me. I turned. I saw people. You want to disgrace me?
Aya kata.
There is a spirit in man. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He told them, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye endue with power. Don't go. Until you are sure you have carried something, don't go. Don't move. Make sure you carry something. If not, you are not going to command the attention that is necessary. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I turned, and I looked at her. I said, in the name of Jesus, I caught few scriptures. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I was looking at her like this. Listen, you will need, if you don't have it, you don't have it. The sons of Sceva tried it. They said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached, get out of him. They say, Oga, Paul with Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. You, who are you? Somebody here, this question is waiting for you. If you will not tarry and receive power, you can shout like Bishop J. If you don't carry it, they will ask you. That's who are you question is waiting for all of you. Waiting for all of us at every juncture. Who are you? Demons know your identity in the spirit. You cannot deceive them. They know. When I looked at her, I told her, in the name of Jesus, I started speaking, I started commanding her. She went down. Say, please, my name is Mercy. My name is Faithfulness. My name is Fruitfulness. I don't know why, how she got that. And then I said, kneel down. She knelt down. I said, raise up your hand. She rose up her hand. Close your eyes. She closed her eyes. I said, that's right. You want to disgrace me? I disgraced your entire generation. She rose up at once. I left her there a few minutes. And I told her, stand up. In the name of Jesus, get out of her. Immediately she shook like this. And then she started going home herself. On that day, if you fail in the day of adversity, in the day when temptation arises, in the day of a challenge like this, without your equipment, it's not like a mechanic. Your car spoiled, no spanner. Your car spoiled, no plier. Aya kabalate mena. Shom beleku berekete leba. Hey! May that day come. May that day not come. When I don't have my tools with me. Liko pros kete kebelata. Hele mekete sanamana. Hele kele me sene menene. Inside me, Yahweh is inside me. Listen, in Jesus' name, In 2017, I remember that they declared, listen, in 2017, we went to Sanga local government, in a village in Sanga local government, together with Catholic students at that time. When we entered the village, as we were going around doing events, because people were looking at us, people have been coming here since. We entered into one compound together with a lady, and we saw this blind woman. She was standing, she was sitting down, and as we were talking, she was the only one paying attention and asking us questions. After I was done preaching to her, I said, Mama, let me pray with you. The prayer was not to get her healed, but then I saw her face. She said, I want you to pray for me. She said, she's blind. I said, Mama, how old are you? She said, she's 70 something. In my mind, I said, oh, what do you need eyes for? See, it was not as if I asked that question in my mind. No, it wasn't in my mind. I asked her, Mama, she looks so funny. Do you know what she told me? Kata! She said, I go a little fi Ibrahim Yamu to the Ida Nushi Palpal. Adamu Yamu to the Ida. She started calling the people that died with their eyes open. I say, hey! I now saw faith. You know, sometimes Jesus heals based on the atmosphere he sends around. If he sends faith, when I looked at her, I touched her eyes. I said, in the name of Jesus, Ephata, be opened. Be opened. And like a joke, I showed her. Was it handkerchief that was in my hand? I said, Mama, can I get anyone? No, I showed her my hands. I said, Kiduba, many are going to keep. That's it. She counted it. They are beautiful. I said, Kai. I showed her my handkerchief. I said, when you call on one, that's it. Not gonna be wrong. Koi Shalabakata. The eyes were opened. Hila makatele breketa. Guess what happened after that? All her uncles, all her relatives, her sons, her daughters, they came to, I asked them, I said, well, were you really sure? Are you really sure this woman was blind? Because it was unbelievable somehow. Then she said, this woman was really blind. All of the children confirmed it. And that evening, the crusade was filled. And listen, I was not the leader of the crusade. I was not the leader of the evangelism team. To tell you that you must not be the leader for you to manifest anything. I was just part of the evangelism team that went. I was just performing my duty as a saint, doing the work of the ministry. I receive power. I receive power. I receive gifts. My equipment. All the tools I need to do the work of the ministry. Rika la bakatos kemena. La taka bakatelede. Hey, Yahweh is inside me. The gift of faith, the
The gift of faith is the ability to have an unusual faith that you can decree something and that thing will happen. A man came to me last year. Listen, please. Listen. You know the man. That man that owns a bakery in Nasarawa. When he came, he said this has been months. He has been trying to work on his bakery. Nothing is coming forth. And I told him, kneel down. And he's a Muslim man. I told him, this in less than 1 month, you are going to see your answer. Unusual faith. Was I God? No. Faith. And guess what? In 1 month, the bakery was completed. And he called me to go and do the dedication. This was something that was not possible. Faith. Unusual faith. You say something will happen and it comes. It is your job to do the work of the ministry. But you cannot go like that. You cannot go like that. Shalabaka tebreketa. Rekote kete 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 leda. Shalabaka tabraka tabaka. Role. Don't say I'm just a singer. No, you are not just a singer, man of God. You are not just a singer. You will need your tools apart from your singing. You need the gifts. What is wrong if one day you went to lead worship and people were slain under the anointing by the power of God and somebody is healed? Somebody is delivered by your song. For the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It is not in word only. In the demonstration of the Spirit. Kamakata bakata. I receive power. I receive power. Shata kapa katos ketele breketa. Makote keto kete breketele keta. Shata bakata brakata la bakata. Ratos kete 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 kete. Riko te breketele keta. Aya. Yahweh is inside me. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen, as I round up, I met a man. Aya, you cannot attract. This gift of prophecy is a gift to you. In Jesus' name, listen. I told you here of one of the politicians I met. When I met him, I didn't know. I really know that I need to make contact with this man. But how will I do it? I need to attract his attention. Moses saw the burning bush. Oh, that was why he came. It attracted him. I said, I need to get the attention of this man. But I didn't know how. So when God made it possible that he talked with me, the moment I entered into prophecy, I told him, I'm seeing somebody. His name is Samuel. I said, who is Samuel to you? He stood like that when he was thinking. I was thinking I was not correct. And then he said, Samuel, Samuel. Then later he now remembered. He now says, my younger brother, the one that is following me, fought before after me. And I said, this and that. He has been asking you of something. I said, please give it to him. He now said, he now looked at me like this. When I just talked to him and then I said one or two things about what I saw about him, I kept quiet. I faced what I was doing. He now said, please, can you talk to me more? can you talk to me more? I did as if I was not interested. But in my mind, I said, that's right. That's why I'm here. An unusual working of the abilities of God inside of you. For the kingdom is not in words only, but in the demonstration of the spirit and of power. Men need to understand that there are gifts, there are abilities. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands, everybody. Next week, we're going to continue.
God's ability. God's ability
is working in me. Is working in me. God's ability. God's ability is working in me. Is working in me.
God's ability. God's ability
is working in me.
Oh, yeah. It's working in me. Sing God's ability.
God's ability.
God's ability.
God's ability
is working in me.
Father, in the name of Jesus, raise up your hands, everybody. Please respond to this prayer. I want to do some activations now. Listen, my job is to you. Remember what Ephesians said, right? So my job is to equip you for me to begin to hear the wonders you are doing outside, the signs and wonders that God is using you to do outside. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, for every hands lifted up, I activate the callings of God upon your life. I said I activate the calling of God upon your life. All your giftings, all the callings that you have received from God long time ago that you have not walked in it, receive grace to begin to walk in it in the name of Jesus. I activate your calling in the name of Jesus Christ. All the gifts that you need, all the tools that you need to carry out your assignment today, receive them in the name of Jesus. I say receive them in the name of Jesus. Tonight, some of you will enter into encounters. As you sleep, you will receive encounters in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you will see angels bringing things for you like in a container, and they are giving it to you. That is the gifting of God for your life, for your assignment. Receive them now in the name of Jesus. Receive encounters in the name of Jesus. Every habit that has silenced your calling, in the name of Jesus, I take it away from you in Jesus' name. I kill the seed of that habit in the name of Jesus. Those of you with the gift of prophecy, may your eyes be clear. May your eyes be clear. In the name of Jesus Christ,
receive clear eyes. Those of you for walking of miracles, receive it now in the name of Jesus. Receive the working of miracles in the name of Jesus. Receive the gift of healing in the name of Jesus. Aya. Let them be activated. Be activated. Be activated. Be activated now. In the name of Jesus. By fire. By fire. By fire. By fire. By fire. By fire. In Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed.